today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Back at it again with our special guests, Josh Smith and RJ Hale from the band Hailstorm, as they tour getting ready for the holidays. We talk about Thanksgiving. We talk about working on their latest album, Vicious.
You know, early phases of this album were just us, like, locked in a cabin for, a couple months, just playing.
How is it that RJ can sing songs of a sexy nature with his sister in the band? Yeah, we talk about that. We talk about the Queen movie, Lizzie as the focal point of the band.
For us, like, we empower her. We want her to be, this larger than life front person. And same with RJ. Like,
No,
he is that too.
I asked them where their Grammys were and tons more today. It's RJ Hale and Josh Smith from Hailstorm on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Another good one on tap for you today with the guys from Hailstorm, like I mentioned in the intro. RJ and Josh, really good stuff from these guys coming up here. Plus, Al Beck with Talking Rock. He's got news on Ministry, as well as Metallica with some vinyl stuff coming out. New music from The Offspring, K.K. Downing, and auctioning off a bunch of his stuff from his Judas Priest days. So that comes up here for you after the guys from Hailstorm. We're out on tour right now doing these cold weather dates like some bands do for some reason. I don't know. If I was in a rock band, I'd want to tour the warm places during the wintertime and vice versa. But they do what they do, and I do what I do, which is talk to these guys today on Talkin' Rock. It's RJ and Josh from Hailstorm.
Yeah, good to see you, Mel. Yeah.
Back in cold, wintry Michigan. I guess you guys have been used to this with a couple of cold dates, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the coldest day we've had yet, but
I don't know.
That's
cold
true.
Around Thanksgiving.
That's
it
true.
Was like 9 degrees, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, what did you guys do for Thanksgiving?
we ate at a turkey dinner at like a nice steakhouse in Rochester, New York.
Oh, okay.
It was the tour family, and it was a blast.
You know, Rochester's known for the garbage plates. That's what you should have had one of those for Thanksgiving. Did you ever see garbage plates?
Oh, yeah. I heard about the garbage plates. Yeah. Heard about the day after.
I used to serve those to my kids. Not exactly the garbage plates they serve, but I'm like, hey, you guys want garbage plates? Yeah, now just take cereal and French fries or whatever is thrown on a plate. Here you go. So when you have your own kids, that's what you can do.
Garbage plates.
So anyways, you guys just got back from Europe, getting ready to crank things out here through the States now, huh?
Yeah, we're doing this for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think we're just about at the halfway point. I think a little over 2 weeks, a little under 3 weeks.
Then we're gonna take a holiday break and start back March 2019 and never come off the road again.
It's quite a break, huh? A couple months. That's nice.
It is. It will be nice.
It's gonna be weird.
It's funny. Last January, we toured across Canada.
Yeah.
I've always wondered about that. It's like, who puts the bands in Canada in the middle of winter?
Who's stupid enough to do that? Hailstorm will.
We'll play
apparently
anywhere.
Stone Sour, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Zach Wilde I saw. Yeah, Dorothy, the whole thing. So you guys got the new record out now, and I was talking to Lizzie about this a couple weeks ago. But, I mean, how exciting is it to explain to people how exciting it is to go out on tour with new stuff?
It's nice. I mean, after the tail end of our last album cycle, we were really, craving playing some new stuff. And that's kind of why we do the cover EPs between albums. It kind of just, it lets us put some songs in that are fun to play, that, something new and fresh and exciting. So, it was a lot of work, learning how to recreate these songs live, but it's a fun challenge,
Yeah. I feel like with this album especially, it wasn't as much work this time around. It's always a lot of work, but we played these songs like so many times before, like, they were finally to where you hear them. Like, we recorded them 5-6 times each.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Live, yeah.
And so, like, to get it to that point, you've played it, I don't know, hundreds of times.
But it was the four of us learning how to play it all together.
All together,
you know, that was the challenging part.
So you're more prepared this time with the songs. I mean, you guys kind of knew them pretty much, and we got in the studio and knew what you wanted to do.
I think so. And the you know, early phases of this album were just us like in a locked in a cabin for a couple months, just playing and playing and playing. So we definitely had our chops up. There wasn't this like, you know, oh, we gotta dial back in our live chops, which are different than studio chops, you know. It was all there.
Yeah. I talked to Lizzie, like I said, a couple weeks ago. Is she the main like lyricist, and you guys kind of come up with these riffs and these the whole thing, and kind of just throw it to her and say, put some words to this, or how's that work?
Yeah, it just kind of comes every which way. I mean, we'll throw out ideas and you'll see her just like off down a rabbit hole, but usually lyrically it's coming from her and her perspective. And but as far as like riffs and making the music, you know, that's just, I mean, especially this time, it was just like such a collective thing. Who's got a riff? Where should we go next?
It was much more collaborative, like on this record, just the four of us locked in a cabin and just basically just trying to write the songs from the ground up, rather than going the usual routine, going with co-writers and getting demos together, then going in the studio trying to knock it out. And so this was a much more organic approach, I think.
And sometimes, RJ, I try to put myself in your shoes because I have a sister too, and it's like, man, I don't know if I could sing some of these songs with my sister. No.
No, I mean, it's been great. I mean, like, you know, luckily, like, the music kept us. I hear a lot of people say that too. Like, how can you be in a band with your sibling like that?
Just, well, not even like that, but like some of the song, like some, what some of the songs mean.
Well, I mean, that kind of stemmed from when we first came out and we were trying to compete with other songs on the radio, and there was like Something in Your Mouth by Nickelback, Porn Star Dancing, Bad Girlfriend. It was like,
sex,
all right, we kind of have to like go into the, like, the quote unquote stripper rock, you know, world just to get ourselves in. And and so, like, I think we've kind of evolved out of that, but at the same time, like, with Do Not Disturb, we wanted to throw a song for the old school fans that wanted to hear a song similar to like I Get Off or something like that, you know.
Yeah, another song I could not sing with my sister.
I
won't even play when she's in the car, to be quite honest with you.
I don't recommend it. No.
So, you wouldn't sing with her, would you sing it to her?
No. So Lizzie just did the national anthem.
That's how much I love our fans.
Right.
I'll do it for you, fans. Love you.
Lizzie did the national anthem the other day. You guys going to ever do that on some of your stops here now, or what? Is that part of the...
That's going to be our new intro. Yeah.
Repertoire, yeah. Yep. I think everybody stand up.
For a moment of silence before each concert.
Yeah. So, no, it's pretty cool. The record's out and sounding good. And, of course, a couple singles on the radio. A good way to end the year. I saw you guys are on Sonic Temple coming up. I've seen you guys before. Rock on the Range. Talk about playing some of those big festival dates.
It's exciting. We're so stoked about it. It's been... I mean, we played some festivals last year, but it was pretty light because we were recording. So, I mean, all in all, you know, like, you know, a festival like Sonic Temple or, you know, a festival like Download, like these just really big festivals.
Download Australia.
We haven't done in a while, and it's so exciting because you get to see people you don't always get to see, you know, or that you've toured with, but you just haven't seen in years. And so it was like a family reunion, but, you know, you also get to watch System of a Down play.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Explain to me how this works. So in the States, you guys kind of tour and you hop on festival dates here and there. But when you go over to like Australia or Europe or something, those festival dates are the only dates you guys play, right? Is that?
More or less. I mean, we kind of do the same thing everywhere. We try and string together dates of headline shows if possible. Like, we're going down to Australia. We're playing some stuff, but we're going to go over to New Zealand as well and play some headliner shows just to, you know, just to get the most out of travel and get in front of as many people as possible.
Yeah. Now, RJ, I know that you're kind of one of these guys that sits back there behind the drum kit. Well, I say sits, kind of using that term loosely. And the first thing that comes to mind is Zoltan Chaney. Are you a fan of his?
Oh, yeah. I actually got to see him play with Vince. We did a show with Vince Neil, I think it was like maybe a year or two ago. And, dude's just such a sweetheart. Really amazing. Really fun to watch. He, like... I mean, he takes it to a whole new level. I couldn't imagine keeping up with that guy. That dude does acrobatics while he's playing the drums and all this choreography, and I'm just kind of like, let's just bang my head until it falls off. You know?
Yeah, you're one of these guys. It looks like, man, maybe you're like a front man trapped in a drummer's body.
I've looked up to a lot of front men in my life. Just watching that Bohemian Rhapsody movie made me remember like how much Freddie was just such a big part of my upbringing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I saw that movie too, and it kind of put a new perspective on it. It's like, they kind of pushed Freddie out towards the front, and he was kind of the focal point. And, you know, and I mean, that movie was about the band, but more about Freddie. Do you guys kind of do the same thing with Lizzie to a certain degree, like kind of push her towards the front, make sure she's the focal point?
Yeah, I think that's
that was always kind of the MO.
Yeah, she's the voice, you know. She is like she is holding the flag. And
have you seen her kind of grown into that role over the last 10 years?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And like for us, like we empower her. We want her to be, you know, this larger than life front person. And same with RJ. Like,
oh, well,
you
know, no,
he is that too. He is a front man.
I'm just glad I can contribute whatever I can.
Right. And
you too, Josh.
And he's gotten really good at that over the years of balancing that the responsibility of being a drummer but
I don't know about that. I'm still trying.
The benefits of being a front person and energy that we really rely on throughout our set. Like, we could have a drummer that just like holds it down, and we've told him that before, just hold it down. And then it's like energy, you know, lifeless set. And it's like, no, man, we need our front man, you know? So it's like, it is a balance, and he does it well. But with Lizzie, you have to direct the attention somewhere. Mm. And if the fact that we have a secondary player to do that with is awesome. But yeah, Lizzie is
she's feeling tired, she's like, RJ, I need you to step up.
Longer drum solo.
Okay. We did that in, we were in Antwerp, Belgium last night, and her voice was feeling rough. So we're like, all right, well, we'll rely on our other strengths, our jams, the solos, the musical language that we have with each other. We get to improv in our set and switch it up, and you know, and it was kind of cool. It was like, all right, Hailstorm, you know, has more than one strength. How about that?
Yeah,
that's cool. No, I'm glad you guys brought that movie up because I saw that movie.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet.
Gotta see it, dude.
Yeah, I'll never listen to both Bohemian Rhapsody again. Yeah, of course. You know,
he is such a great Freddie.
Yeah, no, but it's like you know, listen, kids will never bang their head in their car to that song. So right, if you've seen that movie, you know what that's all about.
I love the Mike Myers cameo. I was like, oh, I get it. It's like, kids are never going to bang their head to this song. I get it.
That's so funny. Hey, real fast question. Where's your Grammys?
On my mantle.
Yeah, I've got one I got like a little fireplace and a mantle. That's it.
Yeah. That's it, like the focal point of your room?
I have it in like a plastic basketball trophy case. I should probably upgrade that to something nicer, but it's like when I got it, we were still kind of broke, and it's like,
mine's just kind of sitting up there with Christmas decorations.
Can't let it get dusty, man.
Right now.
I've talked to some guys that live down in, Tom Kiefer and whatnot. Do you live in Nashville, Josh?
Yeah.
So you see all these guys. I mean, it's like crazy. I'll be interviewing like every third person I interview is like living in Nashville now. Mm-hmm. You guys must just go to the grocery store and see rock stars all the time.
Yeah, I have. I've seen the Rival Sons.
Jay.
I've seen him at the grocery store.
Didn't you see Mute Math too? Like, weren't you talking about
him? My wife was pregnant at the same time the Mute Math guy's wife was. And then they were like going to like prenatal classes together.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. It's like, and somebody was telling, Jason Todd was telling me, you know, about the parties and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason,
yeah, he says down there, I guess he hung out with you guys 4th of July or something like that.
Yeah, we hang out often. Yeah.
Yeah, Jason's good people.
Yeah. Well, old buddy of ours.
I'll tell you what, guys, really great to talk to you. Good to see you here. Happy Riffmas. I almost forgot to mention it.
Happy Riffmas.
We're still a month away, but here we go. But RJ and Josh continue continued success. Safe travels, and I think next time I see you guys, we'll be down in Columbus, Ohio, at the Sonic Temple gig.
Oh, can't wait!
And it might be just as hot as this room, actually. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Killer show from Hailstorm last night here in Southeast Michigan at the Fillmore in downtown Detroit. And in this moment, and New Year's Day opening up as well. So really good stuff from RJ and Josh. Got to thank them for swinging by and talking with us here on the Talkin' Rock podcast. And now, as always, it's Al Beck with some rock news. And real fast, Al, before you start, I was just showing you all the interviews I have stockpiled.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of stuff coming up here in the future.
That's great, man.
Some guitar players. I'm even going to be interviewing a legendary guitar player live in front of a studio audience coming up next week, which I'll tell you about coming up in a future episode of Talkin' Rock. But we have a lot of cool stuff coming up here, so I'm really looking forward to getting these all out. If you get a chance, subscribe. And like I said before, it's kind of important to get this that five-star review and five-star rating, because that helps us get more attention for the podcast.
Yeah, so expands the reach a little bit.
There you go. So, but anyway, so we got rock news here with Al Beck, and they're going to start off with a guy that we recently had on the podcast.
That's right. Al Jorgensen recently joined you here on Talking Rock, but he's talking about the new album that he's working on. Now, it was just back in the spring, I think, that they released Merrick Cant.
Right.
Already getting back into the studio. He says that this fall tour that he's been on is pretty much closing out the touring on Merrick Cant, and already he's immediately going to be going into the studio. We're talking like first of the year meltdown. He's been building a studio at his home, and it's under construction. It's going to get ready, and he's planning on getting in there. Now, he does say they're going to be recording for the next 6 months, but it may take a little longer because he's got some other projects he's working on as well. But beginning of the year, new ministry is going to be underway.
Yeah, you know what some of the other projects are, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he's doing? He produced David Hasselhoff's record, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
And he was great to talk
It'll
to.
It'll do well in Germany.
Yeah, no, yeah, he did talk about that, as a matter of fact.
Well, I just did a song with the Hoffmeister. Yes, I just partied with him the other night. quite an interesting dude. There's the obvious famous YouTube group
right,
of him.
Right,
And then there's Baywatch. And I would say after meeting him, he's somewhere in between.
That's awesome. So that was the first time you met him, because I read an interview with you like a month ago. You hadn't met him, so now you guys are buddies.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it was quite interesting. Yeah, he's actually a pretty cool dude, man. But I was amazed to see, like, usually when you see somebody on YouTube in that state of distress, that generally if you see them out again, they're like completely cleaned up and sober and all that stuff. And no, the guy still rages. I got to give him that. I love the guy.
He also told me that, like, you know, you can go back and listen to the whole interview if you want. But he also told me that he writes and is more creative when there's a Republican in the White House, which is, you know, kind of his thing. So,
sure.
You know, I seem to sleep better at night when there's a Democratic president. So when Obama or Clinton were presidents, I would just basically turn the mirror around at myself and go, well, what should I sing about? Let's see. I'm a useless kind of like drug addict, and I've had failed relationships and stuff. So I should write about that, you know, because then it's about, you know, me while there's Democrats. And then when there's Republicans, I finally get to turn the mirror around and go, you know what? You guys are douchebags, and I'm going to sing about that. So if you really want to simplify it, it pretty much boils down to that.
There you go. Al Jorgensen from Ministry. You can go back and check that out in a previous episode of Talkin' Rock, as he was fantastic to talk to. So anyways, what else you got today?
Well, speaking of new material, The Offspring have been working on this new album of theirs. Really, they started about a year ago at this point. We were expecting them to be releasing the new album this fall, which is, you know, we're kind of getting a close on fall here. So it's been pushed back. But here's the thing. As they've been writing and recording, they've already got definitely a full-length album worth of stuff that's pretty much done. But But Noodles has said some of it's a little odd, a little out there, so they actually may have enough stuff to do two albums. Not really sure if they're going to do a double album or maybe two separate albums, but they would kind of like to do one that's a straightforward, what you expect from Offspring, and then one that's a little different, a little off the wall, like a full album of B-sides.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that they hadn't put out a record in 6 years, since 2012, which seems like forever ago. And I interviewed Noodles back in the spring, and he had said that they started working on some stuff way back then. So he wasn't, you know, obviously there's no date or nothing like that, but they had started working on some stuff. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. That's an interesting band, actually, to be quite honest with you. It's like, it's Noodles and Dexter Holland.
Yep.
Who's like, flies his own plane, he's like a chemical engineer, he's like a scientist and all this other crap, right? And then the list of former members of the Offspring, it's like, I think I even said to Noodles, I go, do you send Christmas cards to all these people? Because that's a lot. That's,
yeah,
that's a long list.
It's a pretty long list.
But anyways, I saw those guys at Rock and the Range last year. They put on a great show. It's fun. They're just a fun band.
Yeah, so. I saw them when they came through town here over the summer, and it was the first time I'd seen them, but I grew up with them. You know, yeah. I was a child of the 90s,
for
so
sure.
They were a huge band for me. So not really sure exactly where to get that album, but now we're expecting it sometime in 2019, maybe two of them.
Yeah, I saw them for the first time on the Smash Tour, which, by the way, I think, if my memory serves me, that record Smash was one of the biggest independent albums in history, because it sold like millions and millions of copies. And I think that it remained that way for many years. I think it might have been overtaken since then. But yeah, to say, I mean, that was a perfect name for it, Smash, because it was a smash. It kind of, it was weird. It's like that time of my life and that time, you know, in the 90s was, Green Day, Offspring, you know, all those bands were kind of this melting pot from, Southern California and whatnot. And they were kind of taking over the landscape of rock and roll. Hey, by the way, speaking of landscape and rock and roll, you got a story on Green Day.
I do have a story on Green Day. Would you like to get to that now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
Yeah, Do it now. Okay. Green Day. I'm not going to do that. No, Green Day, this is kind of cool. Green Day has made it to Mars. Well, sort of.
Really?
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. It's more of like a little shout out from NASA. So they had their InSight lander that just arrived on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this like little chip in there. And there's an inscription on there. It just says Green Day since 1986.
Really?
And that was included in this InSight lander that was sent off to Mars. So, of course, Green Day is all excited about it because it's like, and they're taking it as like, you know what? Screw it. Green Day's on Mars.
I saw a really funny tweet from the police department from Cleveland. It said something along the lines of, if we can fly something 300 million miles to Mars and land it perfectly, you can drive in the snow.
Yeah.
That was a great tweet.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, Green Day, I just saw those guys, you know, a couple, what was it, like a year and a half ago or something, at the same place that we saw Hailstorm at last night, at the Fillmore, which is like a 3,000-seat venue. And it was so cool. They were doing this.
Great medium venue.
Yeah, and it was great to see a band like Green Day in that area because, man, high energy. I mean, the show just keeps on moving, and it's pretty cool for those guys to now be on Mars.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Well, Metallica, these guys have got a new very limited edition release coming out here on vinyl. Now, back at the beginning of the month, they did a charity concert. It was all acoustic. They did a lot of their deep cuts. They did some a few covers and stuff, and it looks like they are going to be releasing that concert. Like I said, as a limited edition vinyl, which is available for pre-order now. It is called Helping Hands Live and Acoustic at the Masonic. And like I said, the performance was in San Francisco back on November the 3rd. And the release date, it is going to be made available on February 1st of 2019.
Oh, man, I was going to say, is that going to be underneath my Christmas tree from you?
Not quite.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Those guys do a lot of good stuff for a lot of good charities and stuff. And, you know, they should. We've talked about this before. It's like, you know, those guys, have made, I mean, buco bucks in their life. And it's good that they give back like that. So pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
I believe the sales, I believe, are going to actually raise some money, too, for this record.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's all sorts of cool Metallica bootleg stuff out there as well. So what you got?
That would be a good addition to your vinyl collection.
Yeah. And finally, you got K.K. Downing. Now, ever since I got back into vinyl, I really got back into Judas Priest. And of course, the new record, which he's not on, Firepower, which came out like a year ago, is just amazing. If you're a Judas Priest fan or you're a fan of that old school Priest sound, the new record is unbelievable. But K.K., of course, out of the band, Richie Faulkner has taken over several years ago. And Richie Faulkner is amazing, too. Just a great addition to that band. And he doesn't act like a guy that just came in. He acts like a guy that's kind of been there from the beginning. But yeah. KK has a lot of stuff that he's auctioning off.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so big fan of, you know, you're getting back into Judas Priest. If you were looking for some rock memorabilia, KK Downing is going to be auctioning off 11 of his guitars, including the 1967 Flying V that was his main instrument for several of the Priest albums, including Sad Wings of Destiny, Point of Entry, a bunch of different stuff. But like I said, it's going to be on the Bonhams international website for auctions.
Well, first of all, you can't be in a metal band from the 70s and 80s without playing a Flying V.
Yeah, right, just, exactly.
I think that's against the law, actually. I don't think you're allowed to do that. So
but you can check out the stock already on the Bonham website, but the auction for the KK Downing memorabilia and instruments will be on December 11th.
Now, he's been, of course, pimping this book the whole time. Heavy Duty, Days and Nights in Judas Priest. He's been out there really hitting that one hard. I think he's been on every interview, podcast, and whatnot, except for this one. So,
well, I'll keep crossing your fingers.
We'll see what happens. Maybe one day. But anyhow, well, there you have it. There's rock news with Al Beck. And yeah, like I said, subscribe. Make sure you check back because I've stockpiled. I think I have at least three interviews right now, maybe four that I haven't even aired yet that are really cool. And we got a lot of stuff coming up here on the Talkin' Rock podcast. Yeah. So
those are ones that are done. You've got more interviews lined up to do as well. So there's lots coming down the line for Talkin' Rock.
Yeah, I was just emailed just before we started with a legendary bassist from a legendary metal band that we're going to get on at the beginning of the year. And not only does he have this record coming out, which he collaborated with another bass player from, we'll just say, I don't want to say one of the big four because that might be being too specific, but one of the big four.
Yeah.
And another one of the big four. Yeah. And they collaborated with the guitar player from the 70s and 80s, legendary rock guitar player in one of their tracks. So anyways, I don't want to give up too much. But
a couple of Easter eggs there so people can kind of lead their way to the answer.
Yeah, read between the lines just a little bit. But anyhow, so yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up here, and it's going to be a really cool. Subscribe if you get a chance. Give a 5-star rating if you can as well. And of course, share with your friends. What's your Twitter handle?
Hey, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me at Al Beck Radio.
And of course, you can follow me at Meltdown WRIF and at Talking Rock with One, the number one. So, hey, as always, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back probably before the end of the week with another edition of Talking Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.